Fastamai, hello and welcome to this edition of Agenda. I'm Ewan Gorn. Superfast internet is going to be available for 99% of premises by the end of 2024 as Manx Telecom rolls out fibre broadband. CEO Gary Lamb explains more, and we find out why it's led to the sudden erection of a number of poles in a Colby estate. And a new way to help those without a job and boost business growth has been announced by government. Will the Manx restart scheme work? A question we put to Treasury member Bill Shimmons. As part of government efforts to speed up economic activity in the wake of COVID-19, Manx Telecom received money to speed up the rollout of fibre broadband. I spoke to the CEO of the company, Gary Lamb, about this, but first, I asked him about the outage which affected thousands in late August and led to a review by the regulatory body, the Communications Commission. He explained what happened.
Yeah, well, first of all, these things are painful. And as you can imagine, it's not something that we want to happen. They do occasionally happen. Unfortunately, in the industry, you can't guarantee there won't be an outage. It was longer than we would normally expect. You know, we do have the odd brief outage now and again. And what basically happened, it was known as a sort of silent hardware failure. So normally, if a piece of hardware fails, there'll be some kind of warning comes through the system that tells you what the problem is and where the problem is. The fact that it was silent was a huge challenge for us. We didn't know what the problem was. We didn't know or the cause of the problem. And what we couldn't do is we couldn't do anything. We couldn't transfer the customers who are off onto another part of the network until we're absolutely clear what the root cause of the problem was. And that meant that a number of customers, I think between 4,000 and 7,000 at any given time, were not able to access broadband until we'd found out what the root cause was. We had obviously all of our team looking at it for many hours through the night, etc. And also Nokia, who look after the network and provide the network to us, they had a lot of their experts work on it as well, apparently something like 14 at any given time across a number of different continents and countries. It's something apparently they had never seen before in their product portfolio. So I guess I'm happy that, we did everything we could to try and get it back up. It's not great that we couldn't get it up until something like 50 hours when, a lot of customers are out.
Are you able to be more specific about the bit of kit that failed?
Not really. I mean, it's a port within, there's a piece of kit called the BNG. It's basically the core of the broadband network. So maybe, it's the heart, it's the engine of the network.
Right.
And this piece of kit failed. And because we didn't know what had failed or why it had failed, this caused us the issue. And that meant we couldn't move people onto another part of this core, if you like, without taking the risk of taking everyone off broadband. So, since COVID, we're probably more risk averse. We don't want to take a risk of taking everyone down because we know it's so important to people. A lot of people are still working at home. So it was very unfortunate that, 4,000 to 7,000 people or homes were off. But, the majority of the customers were still on, which is a positive out of this, I guess.
So how did you feel when that was going on? Were you anxiously pacing up and down or...?
It's not a great time for all of us. At Telecom, we're all very passionate about what we do. We're all very passionate about the island and keeping people connected. We've gone through the COVID period with no real issues on the network. So we were very pleased that, most people had good service on their broadband, could work from home in what's been a real difficult time for us all. So for this to happen, it's pretty tough. Yeah, it's tough for the customers and it's tough for the teams trying to fix it. So no, it's not a pleasant time, but all I can say is, we worked as hard as we could to get it back up and as safely as we could and tried to protect as many customers as we could to keep them in service.
Now, the Communications Commission found that you'd done everything you needed to do in terms of that, but they did sort of make a comment about need for further investment. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So what has happened since COVID? The behaviours of customers has changed. So they're obviously using their home broadband a lot. So there's more traffic across that network. Now, actually, before we had this issue with the network, we had already decided that we were going to pull forward an investment that was due in 2021 to replace the core of the broadband, which I mentioned earlier. So we'd already actually signed off and started to bring in that new piece of kit, or that replacement piece of kit. So what's been referenced by the Commission's report and their investigation is actually that piece of kit that we'd already decided and authorised to actually bring into the company. Just because of all the things that have happened recently, you know, we decided that we needed to replace it earlier. It's also a piece of kit that's important for the fibre rollout as well. You know, it'll be the heart of the fibre network as we roll that out across the island.
So is that in place yet, or are you still...
No, so that'll actually be here and in place in one form at the end of the year, and it'll be performing all of its function by the end of Q1 next year.
Right. And in terms of will that problem happen again, do you think, can you safely say it won't? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can safely say that we should not have that problem again. I mean, because we've seen it once, none of us knew how it happened, what it was, which I mentioned earlier. But gosh, you'd expect that if it happened again, you know, we'd check because we've seen it once. So shouldn't happen again. And the new piece of kit that replaces that core, you know, that's going to be new and more sophisticated. So we'd expect, you know, that to be a better piece of kit. So, we wouldn't have this issue again.
Now, I wanted to ask about speeds. Now, you mentioned that the working from home has seen lots more traffic naturally. Has that resulted in speeds dropping?
Yeah, I mean, naturally, you've got a lot of people, a lot of households on the network. It will have an impact on speed. So what we've seen is that, broadly speaking, people have been able to work from home. We know that there's areas on the island where the speeds are not good enough. And customers have talked to us about those poorer speeds. And again, if you look at what's happened with the network over the last 5 and 10 years, it's again back to what consumers are doing in their home, number of devices, you know, streaming Netflix, etc. So things have changed a lot. We recognise, and have done for some time, that, you know, we do need to upgrade the network. Things have moved on considerably. You know, we've been rolling fibre out since 2017, and we think the fibre rollout is a critical project for the island, and one of the most important things that we'll do on the island for a little while. So yeah, the speeds were impacted. We did manage to get through it, and some pockets of poor speed, and we were able to address some of that, but the fibre rollout will put us in a great position where speeds will be very good going forward.
Is that the major solution to speed issues, having fibre and having it accessible?
Absolutely, yeah. So our ambition, and that of the government as well, is to get everybody connected to fibre within the next 4 years. So that's 99% of the island. As I said, I think that's a really important thing for the island. You know, if we've got really good broadband running over fibre broadband, you know, in 4 years' time, I think, you know, in issues like COVID, if they're around, you know, 4+ years' time, you know, we'll be in great shape to be able to work from home and do all the things that we all do now, you know, Netflix, all our devices, gaming, etc.
Are there any sort of speed guarantees with the fibre that you can give?
So when you buy fibre, you'll be able to buy a number of packages, and it depends on what you want as a consumer.
Is there a minimum you're aiming for as a company, though, that you want to provide?
Well, what we're trying to encourage people to do is to get 100 megs. Now, what you'll find, and this is the same in many jurisdictions, when you get 100 megs, it might not always be 100 megs, because it depends how heavily used the network is. But what we do want to do is be able to give people a lot better speeds than they have today, but that's driven, of course, by what package they actually buy.
Do you have an average for speeds at the moment?
No, I don't. Well, I think the best thing I could quote is recently there was an independent survey and a table produced that ranked us in the sort of the table of broadband speeds. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And you may recall that we were down at something like 66th last time they did the survey. We did go up to around 40th, which is great. And I think the average speeds, if I remember rightly, were around 40 megs on average. Now, you know, our aspiration as a company and as a nation is to try and get in the top 10. And I think with the fibre programme, if we can get every house or premise passed and connected, we will be able to, we believe, get into that top 10.
This has come with the support of government and some funding from government. Can you just talk us through, there was a 10 million sum initially, and then there's an extra sum recently to accelerate that programme as part of the economic recovery. Can you just tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. There's two elements to our fibre programme. We've been rolling fibre out since 2017. And we've been rolling out around those areas which make obvious economic sense for the company to roll out. Now, one of the things that we've discussed with the government is, you know, we do want to get fibre out to the more rural areas. So their support is to cover the more rural areas on the Isle of Man where the economics are really challenging. Would we have rolled out as far as 99%? Of course we would, but it would have taken us a long time. Mm. Okay, so the fact that the government are covering some of the costs for that rural area is really positive for the island because everyone will get their fibre earlier. Now, the acceleration payment is originally we'd worked out we could do it in 5 years. And the government came to us and said, look, we all now recognise, you know, COVID being a great example, that fibre and broadband is so, so important. Mm. You know, what can you do to actually get the fibre rolled out quicker? So, you know, obviously, these things come at an additional cost. We're recruiting a lot of engineers at the moment, plus our existing team, to try and get this fibre rolled out as quick as we can. So there's a bonus payment there that means that we can now go from 5 years to 4 years to get round to 99% of the island.
I wanted to ask about you mentioned your own engineers. Are you having to work with other companies here to do this rollout?
Yeah, we are. And there's really two elements to this fibre rollout. There's the team that gets us past the premises,
right,
so past houses, and then there's the team that will connect from that fibre cable into the home.
Right.
We've got, we're doing all sorts of things. So we are using local companies. We're trying to mobilise as much resource as we can, our own local companies who can help us with the cabling, getting past the premise and connecting. We've just had a careers fair, if you like. We've been looking for engineers to help us do the connections. And we had a fantastic turnout. We had something like 100 expressions of interest in coming to work for us, you know, for a period of sort of 4 years to get homes connected. Mm. And we've recruited from that, if I remember rightly, about 20 engineers. So there's quite a sizable team. We're also recruiting for teams for the premises past. And using resource from off the island, on the island. So it's a real mixture of resource. As I say, we're doing everything we can to get as many people to get us connected as quick as we can.
Has that been a challenge with the COVID restrictions in terms of getting expertise?
It has. It's a huge challenge. And I know, like many other companies, you know, the restrictions on the borders are really, really important. You know, it is wonderful to live on the island at the moment because we're able to do everything we want to do safely. You know, we completely recognise that we need to control the borders carefully, but then it's difficult trying to bring resource on. They have to isolate, you know, they're not as efficient. It's awkward for them. Maybe sometimes they come over and with the rules and regulations, you know, they're a bit sensitive to what's happening. So it has caused us quite a few issues and it's held us back a lot. But we've had to just think a little bit differently. You know, can we get more resource on the island rather than bring resource in? So we'll get there. I think it's going to slow us up, or it has slowed us up. But, you know, we're putting more and more resource and effort in to try and make sure we hit those deadlines.
Mm. Now, pouring all that resource into fibre, has that had a knock-on effect on other things that engineers are required for? So I'm thinking about new broadband customers trying to get broadband set up.
No, it hasn't impacted our ability to deliver all the other services. Now, because there's a shortage of resource, which we're addressing, and we're doing quite well to address that, and because there's high demand to get fibre broadband, that has resulted in the lead times being longer than we're happy with for people to get connected. Now, with the activities in terms of recruitment that we're doing now, we're expecting to be able to start to pull those lead times down when we get to the beginning of the year, next year, 2021, so that we can get more people connected. We'll get a real momentum, and so those lead times will shrink significantly, you know, in the first quarter of next year.
Because some people are telling us they are waiting months to get installations.
And that's absolutely right. You know, we've seen lead times of 3 months. Because, you know, there is a big demand for fibre now. So many people working at home, people wanting better speeds, So, there is a demand, but then we've got the challenges with COVID and trying to get resource to be able to, get enough people to be able to eat into those lead times. Mm. But we are making great progress. We've made a lot of appointments, and we've got a lot of new people coming into the company over the next few weeks. So I'm confident that next year and first quarter, we'll really start to eat into these lead times.
We're hearing from some that flats and fibre now... Some have told us that you have to have a certain number of people in a block of flats who want access to fibre for it to be installed. Can you give us any update on that? Is that true?
Yes, I think, if you asked that question a good few months ago, I think that was probably the case. But if we're going to get everybody connected and 99% of the island, that's not the case now.
Right.
We're going into apartment blocks, and we're trying to connect as many people as we can. So I think you would have heard that in the past.
Okay.
But that wouldn't be the case today.
That was the CEO of Manx Telecom, Gary Lamb. You're listening to Agenda on Manx Radio. In the first half of the programme, we heard from Manx Telecom CEO Gary Lamb. He mentioned the fibre rollout, but it hasn't been entirely smooth sailing. The sudden erection of a number of 9-metre-high telegraph poles around Ballacry Park in Colby has caused outcry among some residents who say they weren't warned. It's part of the fibre rollout, which we talked about. Manx Telecom has apologised for any concerns raised and says while underground ducting is preferred for delivering fibre, it's not always available in some areas. Arbury Castletown and Malou MHK Jason Morehouse was alerted to the situation by residents. I spoke to him.
Got a phone call on Friday afternoon of a concerned resident. He basically said that construction workers had appeared and were planning to put a pole outside his house. And it wasn't just an ordinary kind of pole for replacement purposes. It was a brand new pole in an area where there were no poles. And he was really concerned that they'd had no warning and it was going to be 9 metres and actually block his view.
So who's doing this and what is it?
It's part of the national infrastructure, and that's the issue because you've got Manx Telecom, you've got the Department for Enterprise, and they're both kind of involved and trying to get to the actual key decision makers and say, let's halt this process, let's find out what's really required here. Is quite a challenge.
And is this part of the fibre rollout we heard that was being accelerated?
Yeah. According to Gary Lamb, it's part of that process. And he seems to be referring back to the people at Department of Enterprise for clarification and updates. So it's quite a confusing one when you've actually got Manx Telecom, who kind of heavily involved in it, aren't able to come up with a clear, fast answer, which we would expect from them.
Well, we have contacted, for the tape, I'll say, both parties, DfE and Manx Telecom. I just thought, fibre, doesn't that usually get installed underground?
I had the expectation, but there does seem to be this alternative. And I had a message this morning saying that in one area of the island, they'd actually had the poles removed and they put the alternative underground. So there does appear to be that alternative. I actually have contacted them again and said what alternatives are available. We're hoping to have a public meeting next week or the week after where those people behind this can actually talk to the local residents and actually give a clear idea of what's going on and whether there are alternatives.
Are you not concerned it's a bit too late for the people of Ballacry there?
Oh, no, certainly not too late. And, we're basically at the early stages. And one of the biggest problems is it seems to be drawn up by computers. There's kind of no real awareness of people's windows, people's drives, just how people live to have these monstrosities appearing very close to where people live. It's a real concern. I'm sure that those people involved, if they are serious about helping us move forward, can come up with really good solutions.
Arbury Castletown and Malou MHK, Jason Morehouse. A public meeting has been organised this Thursday from 7:30 at Arbury Parish Hall for residents of Ballacry, where both Manx Telecom and the Department for Enterprise will be on hand to answer questions. And finally on agenda, businesses are being encouraged to take on new staff as part of a bid to help those who've been without a job for 3 months or more find work. The Manx Restart scheme will pay 70% of salaries and national insurance contributions, capped at the living wage of £10.19. It's to help boost the economy and cut down on unemployment. Middle MHK and Treasury member Bill Shimmons explain more about the scheme.
Designed to support employers to take people on for 12 months who've been unemployed for more than 3 months. And from an employer's perspective, well, it's helpful because the government will pay 70% of the employer's salary up to the living wage, which is £10.19 an hour. And we'll also pay the national insurance. So from a financial perspective, it's attractive for the employer. And obviously, it's really helpful for the individual. When you've been unemployed for more than 3 months, you start to get concerned about, you know, how you're going to find a job. And it's really helpful for society because we've seen an increase in unemployment as a result of the virus. And we're very, very keen in Treasury to get that back falling again.
So is this focused at those who have lost their jobs due to the pandemic specifically?
It's not restricted to people who are in that situation. So anyone who has not been in employment for 3 months is eligible. And there are a number of situations where different sectors have been more badly hit by the crisis than others. And so potentially it's a great opportunity for people to retrain, do a different job than they were doing before, because the feedback we're getting from employers is actually that there are some really great situations where things are going well, but not in all the sectors. So it does enable both employers who will need to train people, but also employees, people who've been unemployed for more than 3 months, just to get back on their feet again. And that's why it's called Manx Restart.
Well, is there appetite within for these kind of schemes? Because often, you know, you want somebody trained already, usually, as an employer, don't you, rather than having in-house training going on?
I mean, that's the ideal scenario. And so this scheme is designed to encourage employers to perhaps take people on who don't have those skills and work with them to build their skills over a period of time. And we hope that many of them will become long-term valued employees. So it's really taking account of the circumstances that we find ourselves in at this moment in time.
And now, as ever, there are qualifying criteria with these sort of things. Can you just talk us through any important criteria that we should make people aware of before applying?
Sure. Well, what I would encourage people to do is contact the job centre. So employers who are interested in this, please contact the job centre. Our details are on the government website if you search Manx Restart Scheme. There are some qualifications in terms of we're restricting this to 5% of any company's workforce or any business's workforce. And it's absolutely not possible to make someone redundant and then hire in
cheaper labour.
That is not what the scheme is designed to do. The scheme is designed to help employers take on extra people and help get them back in the workplace.
Where do you imagine that these positions will be created? Where is the appetite? Is it going to be in insurance, financial services? Where do you imagine these placements are going to come from?
Well, we know that many of our international facing businesses, so the finance sector and other supporting businesses, are actually doing really well at the moment, which is very positive. And a lot of the domestic businesses, you'd be surprised talking to a number of businesses that they are struggling actually to hire people at the moment in different sectors and different businesses. So it's designed, there's no sector specific qualifications in this. So any organisation, doesn't have just to be a business as well, any organisation that's taking on extra people, if they can take on people who've been unemployed for more than 3 months, then we will help and we will help with meaningful support. We've put 1.8 million aside as the budget for this and it's going to be, I think, a really interesting and positive thing to do. And we're going to be closely monitoring to see how this goes, what the outcomes are for the individuals and for the employers, because this might well be something that we could look at repeating or tweaking to make it more effective. But it's a good initiative, I think.
And what will be the measure of success? Reduction in unemployment figures or high take-up? What do you see as a measure of success?
So absolutely, the reduction in unemployment is a key measure for us. So if you look at unemployment, so 1 year ago in October last year, it was at 332 people were claiming unemployment benefit on now, and that's a very low level. And in April, at the height of the crisis, we had over 1,300 people. So there was a big spike in unemployment. And even then, that it was probably slightly higher than that, because that doesn't include a number of people who were claiming MIRA, which was really just to help people at a very, very difficult time, the lowly paid throughout the crisis. And in September, we saw it drop up to 885. And the latest figures that I've seen is we're just under 800. So it's coming down. We want to see it come down further. So that will be, I think, a key measure for us. But also, we'll be taking feedback from the individuals to see how has it actually worked out? How many of these individuals are now in full-term employment beyond the 12 months? And from the employers, how's it worked out in terms of bringing in people who perhaps, as you say, didn't have the skills that they would normally require people to have?
Middle MHK and Treasury member Bill Shimmons. That's all from this programme. We'll be back with more from Agenda soon, and you can listen again to this edition online via the Manx Radio website or through Spotify. But for now, Gurumayu and goodbye.